Joel, it's three little chapters, is recording some of the great and terrible days that have been spoken of in the Bible. Great and terrible, all at the same time, because of the sorrow and the pain and the struggle and the fear, true fear, not reverence, but true fear, that are elicited in the soul of one who understands the options in destiny. And yes, I did say the options in destiny. It is appointed once unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. Judgment cannot be escaped. And judgment is not something that we should avoid thinking about. It is not something that we should put behind us and just leave it aside, because why? Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision, every second of our lives, we're making a choice. Every second. Who will we serve? Just like Elijah said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. If it looks good to you to serve this dead Baal who can do nothing for you, who cannot even keep you alive, or is it good to you to serve the Creator God who is capable of doing more above and beyond what you can ask or think? The one who made everything, the wood, the water, the air, the atmosphere, the stars, dark matter, who made your DNA to come out in a pattern that would allow you to be unique and yet fully connected to your ancestor. Who will you serve today? We talked the other day about putting in the sickle and reaping. We have a job to do. We know already that life is a struggle. And even when it's dark, we have to make the effort to serve the Lord. But even in that effort of serving him, we have to be thinking about the others who are out there, who are struggling, who do not know about God. Joel chapter 3, verse 16 says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." He will be the hope. Hope is crazy. Because when everything else has gone away, you can still have hope. Hope at the end of your fingernails. Hope when your fingernails have left the building. That there is something else. Here we hear our precious God promise that he will be the hope. He'll be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. God doesn't abandon. That's not his thing. And he said he wouldn't. He even promised that he would carry us. He created us and he would bear to our ripe old age. He would carry us. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. Well, chapter 2, it says, verse 11, "The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" We can't get away from it. We're going to have to go through it. A young man had a vision of the day of the Lord. And in his vision, just like the Bible says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill made plain. No, the crooked made straight, and every mountain and hill made low. Everything's flattened out, right? Every creature, human being that had ever existed from the beginning of time was standing on this plain. And there was a beautiful rainbow fire. And every single one of those living beings had to pass through that rainbow fire. And if the person was judged worthy of eternity, then they passed through unscathed. And if not, they went down into destruction. No one gets past the judgment. And there's a good reason for it. This isn't something that is brought against people. It's not a way of being mean or harsh. If we understand the reality of life here on our planet, the fact that we are involved in a great conflict, and it's a conflict that takes place in the mind, it's about who you love, who you'll serve, what your philosophy is, what you accept and what you refuse to accept. If you embrace goodness, if you embrace righteousness, if you embrace fairness, the devil did an excellent job of lying and confusing, mixing in, you know, perversion with perfection. He grabbed a whole 1/3 of the angels who had only lived a perfect life. They had only seen goodness, never even encountered wickedness. Until Satan started spilling his beans all over the place. He does a good job of it. He's a liar. He invented lying. That's why you need to be careful what you watch, because the invention of lying is a very blasphemous film. You need to be very careful what you watch, because sometimes you can stick out your hand and accept that bestial alliance with your hand, even when you protest it in your mind. Remember what it says. You can get the mark of the beast in your hand as an agreement, or in your forehead, which is your decision-making center of your brain, right behind your forehead, in your frontal lobe. Okay? So be careful. That's just an aside. But he was smart. We have to remember that judgment is just a formality. And that's why when you accept Jesus as your Savior and you throw all of your cares on Him because He cares for you, you still have the ability to smile, because you know that there's no way that you can be perfect, but you can strive for perfection. And you can be perfect in love, like Jesus said, be ye also perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Read the chapter. And you'll know that this is a God who has prepared everything for your acceptance. He's making a meal for you and building you a house just the way that you never could have possibly imagined it. Some of us will have stars on our ceilings. When you accept Jesus, you get the Creator God as your hope, as your actual hope. How could you do better? A Creator, the Creator, as hope. Judgment is a formality, but it's necessary. Because evil will not rise again. It's not going to happen for a second time. Listen, God said He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You hold on. I have to encourage you today. If you're hearing my voice, listen, hold on. God has the final say. We play a song here on Katie Records. It's not over until God says it's over. And this is a fact. Don't believe the hype. Steer clear of all of the foolishness, but hold on to God. Because he has a plan for you. He's pulling you out. He's made promise after promise after promise. Don't be afraid to read the rebuke, because the rebuke is the thing that keeps your soul burning. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts you of sin. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Let him tell you that you're doing wrong. Where you're doing wrong, you need to know it. It's not something that's the end. When you find out from the Holy God that there's something that he wants to improve for you, he's taking you to a better life, a higher level. It's like telling you, you got to leave your Volkswagen here because I've got a better car for you down here at the end of the road. Leave that here and let's walk over there. It's broken. It's old. It's rusty. It's imperfect. There's 6 recalls on there that you ignored. Leave it here and walk with me to the end of the line. And I'm going to give you a better car. A better car now. I want you to know that the Bible even promises you good things now. The psalm says that had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in my lifetime, I would have perished. Listen, when you find the struggles in your life, the joy is withered away from the sons of men in your life. When you're looking at the book of Joel and you see the heaviness of your existence in those words weighing down on you, knowing that you deserve the rebuke of a perfect God, that you deserve to be taken out into exile, that those locusts that walk so perfectly and listen so diligently to the voice of God, that are going to clean away the filth from your skin, just like they cleaned away the bark from the trees and cleaned away what looked beautiful, but underneath it was filthiness and vile character. When you know that that is a part of what needs to happen in your life, or what is happening now in your life, continue to read. Because in chapter 2, you'll find so much hope. You find it in chapter 1. But this is real life, he says. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping, weep, fast, mourn, rend your heart, not just your garments. Turn to the Lord your God. He's gracious, he's merciful, and also slow to anger and of great kindness. Kindness, kindness is the nature of God. Repent, repent of evil. And know the Lord has good things for you. He will do great things for you. Read his promises, blow the trumpet, and wait on the Lord. He'll strengthen your heart, because the end of it is salvation. Joel chapter 2 verse 32 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The end of it is eternity. I seek you till I find you. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I seek you, I will find you.